Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Dove Ministries of Love, a production of Dove Ministries. Join Apostle Diane as she shares wisdom from the Word of God about topics that we are faced with in our lives every day. Listen with an open heart and spirit as you can receive impartation and understanding. We are taking prayer requests and your questions live at 1-347-857-4133. Let the anointing of God lift your burdens and destroy yokes of bondage in your life. You will never be the same. Our website is www.dove-ministries.com.
Hey everyone, Apostle Diane Nutt, somewhere here in the county of Rockwall, Texas. I am so pumped and stoked that you are listening today and blessed that you're listening as well. And I hope you've called someone and called your family members, because this is going to be an amazing program today. And I know that God is going to move in such a powerful way. And so before we get started today, I just want to share with you, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area anytime, please come and worship with us at Church of His Glory. You can go to churchofhisglory.org, and you'll find out the information there. But we would love to have you to come and worship with us. God is just moving. I mean, every time we gather together, the glory of God is present. And, you know, it's hard to really articulate sometimes in words, because it's just an amazing presence of God, and His love is just pouring out on each and every person. And, you know, every time we gather together, it's different. But the glory of God is always there, and prophetic words come, and people get healed, and people get touched and set free and delivered. So I know that you will be very blessed, and so I just want you to know that you're welcome to come and to worship with us. And so I want to move on. I don't want to take time on announcing a lot of things, but I do want to say, for all of the listeners in East Texas, in the New Boston area, I will be in New Boston this Friday morning ministering with Ann Barfield and with her ministry. And if you would like any information about that, you can message me on Facebook, or you can message me through email at dovemanrc@aol.com. Or you can call the church at 972-772-5544. I would love to have you. It's going to be an awesome meeting. I haven't been with Ann in a couple of years, and I'm just expecting a mighty move of God. So that's in the New Boston area in Texas. If you're in that area Friday morning, come on out to Ann's. Okay. I don't think there's anything else I'm going to talk about right now, because I want to get to my guest. And my guest, Melania Fuentes, I hope I'm saying your last name right.
That's right, Fuentes, yeah.
Okay, awesome. And so Melania has been on my radio program before, and it's been probably a couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah, that was when I did my first book. Absolutely, yes.
Yes,
a couple of years,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, it's been at least a couple of years. So I'm just really, really honored and blessed to have Monya on the program today to talk about her latest book that she has written, which actually came out last year. And it's an awesome book. I've only seen just little snippets and stuff. And this book is about relationships. And, you know, I know some of you have called in at times, but those of you who are listening right now who you've never even listened to the program before, but you're not in a very good relationship, I know that you're going to be blessed today, because Monya is going to be talking about relationships. And, you know, sometimes we just end up getting hurt in relationships, and we stay in those relationships, and they become abusive, whether it's physical or mental. But, you know, mental abuse can be just as toxic and very hurtful as physical abuse. And so God wants us to have a covenant relationship with one another in our marriages and just on a friend basis. He wants us to have that relationship that he has ordained. And so there's a scripture that is really just strong in my heart for this program today, because I believe this applies to everyone. And, you know, we're living in a time where the Bible says that it is a perilous time. We're living in perilous days. And so the Word of God says that there's a people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. And but it goes further, and it says, from such as these, turn away. And we have a hard time, difficult time doing that. And and so, but nevertheless, we've got to be obedient to the Word of God. And so, Monya, I know in your book you talk about the heartbreak and I guess the disappointment that you had, but God gave you a dream that inspired a really dramatic change in your life.
Yeah, I was so absolutely. I was still in my previous marriage, and I was praying every day that God would heal my marriage. And I would sit in church and I would listen to people's testimonies of how God had healed their marriage. And with all of my heart, I believed that God was going to heal my marriage. I wanted it. I believed in it. I had the faith that God was going to heal my marriage. But sometimes God didn't. I think when I look back now, I believe that I had to go through that season because it was part of my purpose. It was part of my purpose to help other people escape. But the other person have to be willing to change. God cannot change a person if they are not willing to change. So it's a partnership, number one. Number two is I was so broken, and I kept crying out to God. After about 4 years of just praying for healing and that things would change, one day I just sat down and I just cried my heart out to God, and I said, God, why? And I just got to the end of it. It was like the breaking point. And I asked God, please reveal to me why I am in this marriage and I feel so stuck, and why that I choose this person. And I believe the whole time I was praying amiss. And because God loves us so much, I believe the Holy Spirit was just praying through me for the right answer, for the right question, so that God could give me the right answer. And it was, I believe, that night that I had a dream. At that time, that my current husband was cheating on me, and it happened over and over again, and I was just broken. And I was at a point where I was forgiving and loving and all of the things that we are told to do. I seek the help I wanted from churches and pastors, and I wasn't getting the help I needed at that point. And I, in the middle of the night, I think I still believe it was a dream. It might have been a vision, because in the dream I was actually laying in the exact same spot on the floor. I was laying on the floor on a blow up mattress, because we were actually staying at his mother's house because we had lost everything. It was almost the fourth time that we had lost everything. And I was married to a minister when we would travel and preach. And it was in the middle of the winter. It was freezing. And I believe I had a cold. And I opened my eyes and I could sense God's presence. And this is only might be happened to me once before in my life, right before I gave my heart to God, that I had sensed such a heavy presence of God in the room. And there was a wall next to me. And on the wall, it was almost like the dream that Solomon had, that the hand was drawing on the wall, but it was an invisible hand, and it was a drawing of a brain, and the brain started lighting up. And I blinked my eyes to make sure I was seeing this right, and when I blinked, the word algorithm appeared above the brain, and it was like burnt into my, and I knew this was God, and God was trying to explain to me something. But at that time, I had absolutely no idea what the word algorithm meant. I had no idea why I was seeing this brain. And when I closed my eyes and I opened it back up again, it was gone. But immediately after it was gone, I had goosebumps everywhere. I don't know if anybody's ever had that encounter with God where you were just like, God just spoke to me. God just gave me an answer of something I've been praying about. And like every other person, I immediately grabbed my phone and I Googled algorithm to kind of understand what it means. And the word algorithm, it's a word that's usually used in mathematics and computer science. And it means that it is the exact specifications of how to solve a class of problems. So, and it performs a calculation or data processing, and it's an automated reasoning task. And I was thinking to myself, an automated reasoning task my brain has is the problem. So God was telling me that my mind was the problem. And the first thing something just came to me, Romans 12, 2, where it says, the renewing of the mind. You know, don't conform to the world, but let your mind be renewed, and then you will know what God's will is. He's good, he's pleasing, and his perfect will. And I get goosebumps now just thinking about it. I immediately knew that my mind had to be renewed. My mind was programmed in a certain way to choose a toxic and abusive people. I had to renew my mind, and I was going to ask God to help me to do it at that stage. And this is what this book is about. It's all about renewing the mind of a person is addicted to toxic relationships. And it goes through it goes through everything I did to renew my mind, to retrain my brain and my mind in a way of thinking that I deserve abuse. I grew up in an abusive house, and God was revealing to me, your mind had been programmed with abuse. You are programmed to believe you deserve this. You are programmed in your mind, and I want to reprogram your mind so that you believe you deserve love, so that you believe you're my child, so that you believe that you deserve the best. And at that point, I was saved. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was ministering to other people, but subconsciously, I still had this record playing in my mind. You're not good enough. You don't deserve love because of everything I'd been through in my childhood. And God was wanting to heal that. The minute I started realizing God was wanting to heal that by the dream that he gave me, that this algorithm that's going on in my mind, if I don't change that, I'm going to be, and this was my second marriage, I'm going to be in another marriage that's toxic, and another one, and another one. And that's why this is a cycle of abuse. And every person that had gone through things in their childhood where they were mistreated, abandoned, rejected, you know, anything like that, sexual abuse, even if it's just emotional abuse in your childhood, your little mind is programmed to believe that that is a safe environment for me. You're used to it. You gravitate towards it. You don't feel comfortable in healthy relationships. And you're always going to be attracted to toxic because that's all that your mind understands. And I just started praying for God to start showing me, how do I do this? How do I renew my mind? And after that dream, it was about 3 months after that God was telling me to leave. And that was hard for me too, because it goes against everything that's in the Bible. And I pray, God, please help me to understand it's okay to leave, because I made a vow to God the day that I got married. My second marriage, I was saved. In my first one, I wasn't. So it was like under the blood with the first one. The second one was like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this. I'm saved now, and I love God, and I don't want to, you know, disappoint him. And I made a vow that I was going to stay with this person, and I really wanted to stick things out. And God was just trying to tell me, this was never my will for you. I want you to not be abused. I don't want you to be mistreated. Then the Holy Spirit told me something that I think every woman that's ever been in a toxic marriage need to hear, that God spoke to me one morning and told me, I hate abuse more than I hate divorce. And if people who are being physically abused, and I actually counsel women today that are going through the same things, and a lot of them are Christians and some of them are not, and a lot of these women are being sexually abused in their marriages. they're being raped by their husbands. Yes. And some of these women are Christians, and their husbands are telling them the marriage bed are undefiled. They're bringing up scripture. You can't withhold things from me. Actually, and I don't know, this might be a lot for some people to hear, but I ministered to a lady who was being raped anally by her husband. And she had developed some serious health issues. And she read my first book. She started emailing me. And I told her this is not okay. And they actually went to see a pastor, and the pastor had told her to stay. And I actually helped her to escape. It was about a year process for her to get out of that marriage. But
Wow. She's
out now. Wow. She's safe. And she had told me, thank you so much. She's healing emotionally, physically. And it's not God's. If you are right now, I'm telling every person, because we don't talk about this at church. We don't talk about sexual abuse at church in a marriage, because anybody that's listening right now, if your husband is forcing you to do things against your will in the bedroom, it's not okay. It's the exact same thing as being forced to do something against your will if you're not married. The Bible says that you have to love your wife, and a man has to respect her husband. These things are not okay. And if you need my help, please find me and contact me, email me. Go on my website, and you need advice from someone who's, I didn't experience that in my marriage. Mine was more emotional abuse, but I don't think we realize how many people are going through this and they're not getting the help they need. Nobody's telling them
That's
it's not
true.
Okay. It's not okay to be abused in any way, even if it's emotionally. I don't believe God wants any of us to be abused. It's not God's plan for you. And I believe in some people's marriages, God can heal it, but he'll guide you through it and he'll direct your steps. But with this book, it's a 21-day program that I designed with God's help. And it goes through four steps every day. And it's about healing. It's about overcoming. It's about renewing the mind so that you'll never fall for another toxic guy ever again. It restores your self-esteem. It helps you to heal. And the four steps that we go through every day, it's like a little devotional type of a thing. The first
That's
thing
awesome.
That I do every day in the book, we do a little lesson that you go through. You read the little lesson so you can kind of understand yourself better. Because the first thing we do is like we blame the person. And what I used to do is Google and find out what was wrong with my husband instead of trying to figure out why I was attracted to a person like that in the first place. So the first thing we do is we do a little lesson. Then we start the plan. It's four steps. The first step is a prayer. And I actually wrote the prayers out, 21 of them, because you don't know what to pray when you're in a situation like that. Sometimes I would just cry out, God, help me. Because I didn't know the words to pray anymore. I was just so broken. So the prayers are specific to every day. There's 21 different things that God showed me women need healing from that are in toxic relationships and are attracted to toxic people. The second one is an affirmation declaration. The third one is the scriptures that you have to declare over yourself. And the fourth one is a writing task, because I actually studied in some secular books because I couldn't find a lot of Christian books. But Dr. Caroline Leaf, who's a Christian, she has a book about the brain and how important the brain is. The writing actually helps us reprogram. Yeah. And some of the 21 days is we deal with stuff like rejection, codependence. We deal with shame, low self-esteem, guilt, loneliness, fear, desperation, boundaries, money. Because a lot of women are stuck in relationships because of money. They don't want to leave because they are being not just emotionally abused, but financially abused. They are trapped in a relationship and they can't get out because they don't have any money. Then we deal with spiritual warfare. We deal with your identity. We talk about purpose and how speaking good things over yourself. I deal with disappointment and loss and many other issues. And it's a 3-week, and week by week, you go through this. Each week has 7 days in it. And I would suggest that people that do get the book, if there's one thing that really, like for me, it was rejection and shame. that and my self-esteem. And I went over those a few times. Like, I didn't just do one day. I went over them 5 days. I just stopped right there and went over the declarations, the prayers, and spoke the scriptures over myself. Yeah, I did all the work for you. Yes. And because I think you feel so confused. And when you're there, you don't know what to pray for. You don't know what's going on. You know, you don't know what to do. And so anybody that feels stuck and confused, you know, the book will help them. And if it's a family member, the book will help them too. And even people who are not Christians, I try to make it not too spiritual. There are scriptures in it, but I wrote way so anybody could understand it. I didn't use Christianese. Yeah. So, you know, I do give the books out to some of the people at my gym that are not Christians. I gave one to my spin instructor the other day. It told me her daughter, she's going through a divorce, and her daughter's is just keep dating these guys that treat her really, really bad. And I told her, that's daddy issues. Yeah. That's the first chapter in the book. And there's a prayer and a declaration and an affirmation and a writing task that you can do to kind of psychologically heal the mind in that area. Because it's not just the heart, healing the heart, the mind really needs to be healed. And that's what God started telling me with the dream was the mind needs to be renewed. Yes, the mind holds things and you know, I believe so many times in the Bible, God's trying to tell us, listen, I'm trying to do something new. Let go of the past. Let go of the old. And he wants to heal us. If we're willing to open ourselves up, he'll help us to heal. And the book will help you heal. That's what it's all about. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, Monya, I can't get away from something that you said several minutes ago, but I wanted to keep letting you talk so you could finish in what you were saying. But something that really hit my spirit, because some that are listening today, and you may be a male, you may be a female, and maybe it's, you know, 5 months from now and you're listening to this program, or maybe it's in 2020 and you're listening. But this is the question I want to ask you, Monya, for those, because like I said, it hit my spirit a while ago, and it's like, oh my, okay, there's people dealing with this right here. And that is that you said that we're always, you know, when you're in a situation and a circumstance like this in a relationship, whether it's physical or mental or emotional abuse, it's all abusive, and God doesn't want us to live in that kind of circumstances where we're being abused and we're not even able to be who we are. But the thing is that you said, okay, so we're praying for our spouse or praying for a friend or whomever, but, you know, you're praying for your spouse and what they're doing that is hurtful to us, when we need to be taking a look at ourselves. And what is it
introspection
in us that draws us to that type of relationship? And so I believe in my spirit that there are some right now that are listening today on 2019, and it just kind of a light went off. It's like, oh my gosh, all this time I've been praying for my husband, I've been praying for my wife, you know, I've been praying, but I haven't really even, that thought hadn't even crossed my mind. What is it in me that is tolerating what I am receiving in and through this relationship, and why am I not strong enough to rise up above it so that I don't accept it or tolerate it or receive it anymore? Because it's damaging my self-esteem, the person that I am, and I don't feel like I'm the person that I used to be. I feel like I'm being controlled in this. So what is it in me? So talk about that for a minute, Monya, with our listeners today, because when you listen to God and he begins to reveal stuff to you about you, he doesn't want you to be under any shame or condemnation or guilt, but we have to confront that conflict in us that about us that in, you know, that because we're to allow the circumstance, but he doesn't want us to be condemned or ashamed, but he wants us to know what that thing is so that we can get healed from it. So talk to us. Talk to
absolutely
those that are listening today.
And yeah, and this, the first thing,
there's no shame there.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the hardest part. The hardest part for me when I actually coach people one-on-one, you don't want to come out and ever tell someone, you know, who's being abused or going through it or have been through it, that it's their fault. It was never, when this is not what Diane and I are saying, it's never your fault. Abuse is never your fault, but tolerating it is a choice, and being attracted to it is something that it goes back into your beliefs and your identity, your core identity and what you believe about yourself. And all of these things are not in your conscious mind. These things are deeply rooted in our subconscious mind, and these things were programmed into our mind when we were kids. I always say there are two E's are what your beliefs. Every belief you have about yourself was created through an experience or exposure. If you had gone through specific experiences, the brain remembers that, it puts it into storage, and it becomes a part of your identity. So, for instance, if you had been sexually abused when you were a baby or a child or a little girl or a little boy, and it was repetitive, and this is the thing about where the mind gets programmed, when it's repetitive is when it gets programmed, and that's why I use repetition in my book to unprogram that and to reprogram. We use repetition over and over and over, and that's why we got to work, speak the word of God over and over and over, because that rewrites the negative things, the beliefs about ourselves that have been programmed in our mind as a child. When you're born, you don't have limiting beliefs. You believe you can do anything. The beliefs start happening when you go through an experience or you're exposed to something. Like I said just now, if you were going through an experience of sexual abuse as a child, you're always going to think your body is there to be used, and you're going to allow people to do it because you believe subconsciously your body's there to be abused. Your body's there to be misused.
That's right.
And you're going to either when you're a girl, you're either going to be promiscuous and you're going to dress like the little hoochie mama because you think that that's the only way you're going to get love. Or you're
that's
going
right.
to hide yourself with being overweight, and you're going to that's a subconscious belief too. Women who were sexually abused when they were child, that sub-belief is either going to turn them into a promiscuous woman, or it's going to turn them into someone who's an overeater who hides themselves under loads and loads of just being so severely overweight that nobody would want you, because you would never want to be abused in that way. So, and I think
that's
there's a lot of women that can't lose weight. It's actually that subconscious thing in your mind that says, I don't want to be attractive, but you don't realize that's what you believe because it's not in your conscious mind. It's deeply rooted inside.
Exactly.
I don't want to be attractive. So every time you lose the weight, you get to that point where your brain starts feeling, it's called cognitive dissonance, and your brain starts feeling discomfort, and you go, I'm getting attention. I need to get the weight back on, because I don't want to be raped again, or I don't want to be abused again. So subconsciously, now you're going to start eating again, and some people never understand why, but it's the subconscious beliefs. Or it could be that you grew up in poverty, and your subconscious belief is, that's exposure, that I'll never amount to anything more than this. My father and my mother were poor, you know, I'm going to be poor forever. And and no matter what job you have or how much money you can make or how good your skills are, your talents are, there's like this cap in your subconscious mind that says, I can't earn more than this. And you're going to revert back to it until you reprogram, because the subconscious mind was trained. And so I think when we start doing introspection about relationships, we need to go back and see what happened to me as a child that hurt me in specific ways. We need to deal with this. This is skeletons in the closet. Like in my book, I let people write down the most painful things that have happened to them. It has to come out. You need to write it down. And then you need to start saying, listen, it was never my fault that I was being sexually abused. Because that's, if you believe that it's your fault and you have the shame that goes with it, then, you know, if something gets exposed, it heals. So you have to bring it out in the open. You have to write down people's names that have hurt you before. You have to bring it up and out and say, this person hurt me, and I let them go and I forgive them. And that's in my book too. But the introspection part is so, so important. There's a reason we gravitate towards specific people. And like I said, until that mindset is not renewed and the brain is not retrained in a specific way, our beliefs keep us. And I really believe with all of my heart, a lot of times when Jesus spoke about belief and about faith, it wasn't necessarily just faith in God. It was faith in a specific thing. When Jesus said to this man that was sick, do you believe that you can be healed? Like, he said, I believe, but help me not to doubt. And he also said, to everybody that believed, nothing would be impossible. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus didn't just speak about belief as belief in God, but belief in a specific thing, belief in healing, belief in miracles, belief in your ability, belief in yourself, belief in your purpose and your identity, and that you were created in the image of God and that you're a child of God. I think most people that are in toxic relationships, their identity were altered in their childhood. In some way, they believe that they deserve it because they grew up around dysfunction. So they believe subconsciously, I deserve this. I don't deserve anything better. But you're not going to walk around all day and say that because it's so deeply rooted. But when that root comes up and out, then you go, wow, I really didn't ever think about this, because I didn't. I didn't think. I was a very confident person, but I had no idea that my identity was so altered because my dad was abusive, that I kept going after these abusive men because I subconsciously believed I deserved that. I subconsciously didn't believe that I deserve love. And Jesus also said, be it unto you according to your faith. In any way, you are going to get what you believe. You're going to get, and if even if it's a subconscious belief, you're going to get that. If you don't believe that you're supposed to prosper, you're not going to. If you don't believe that God can heal your body, you're not going to be healed. If you don't believe in the supernatural, you're not going to. If you don't believe you deserve love, you're not going to get it. No matter how much you want it, but if you don't subconsciously believe it, you're not going to get that. So when Jesus was saying, be it unto you according to your faith, to the man that was sick, Jesus was telling him, you can get the level of healing according to what you believe you are going to get. And when this just started opening my mind, I mean, when I got the dream from God, Dr. Cindy Trim was my spiritual mentor, and she told me to read a book by James Allen called As a Man Thinketh. And I was like, okay, this is not a Christian book, and it's not a Christian book, but it goes through what a person's beliefs. And she said, don't be stepped back by that it's not a Christian book. But it's so based in Christianity, because every word in the book is about belief and about faith and what we are programmed to do, what we believe about ourselves. We are what we believe about ourselves. And I believe every person that's had experienced a toxic relationship or are in a toxic relationship, I believe that the enemy sent that relationship or that person to destroy your ability to fulfill your purpose. Because each and every one of us are created to do something in the earth realm for God. And none of us, it's not all the same. I'm supposed to do what I'm doing. You're supposed to do what you're doing. And I believe that toxic relationships are sent by the enemy to destroy a person's ability to do it, or your self-esteem or your identity in Christ. It hits you right at the root of, yes, absolutely, because you don't feel worthy. You don't feel deserving. You start feeling worthless. Your self-confidence just go. And we need all of these things to fulfill our purpose. I cannot be on this program today, and I couldn't have written this book, and you couldn't have done the interviews with Sid Roth. That's super scary, and with all those lights and camera, if you didn't have enough self-confidence. Yes, God was with you, but can you imagine if you were in an abusive relationship and you had to go on a show like that, how devastating that would have been, because your self-esteem would be destroyed. And the enemy tried to do that with me, destroy my self-esteem so that I would not be able to fulfill my purpose. And I believe people that every woman listening to that, or man, if you're in a relationship, destroying your self-esteem, it's a plot. It's a plot to help to cause you not to fulfill the purpose that God had placed you on this earth to fulfill. There's something in you that the world needs, and the enemy's trying to destroy your ability to do it. Absolutely, whether it's a book or painting a painting or helping somebody or speaking or teaching or preaching or writing a book, we need to feel worthy of doing those things, and we need to feel like we are a part of God's kingdom. We need to, you know, you have to have those feelings of, I deserve to be used by God. And the enemy can destroy those things when you're in a toxic relationship. Absolutely. And so
I would say, absolutely.
And we need to get past the thing of that divorce is such a sin, that it's a worse sin than sitting in an abusive marriage and teaching your children that it's okay for a man to treat a woman like that or for a woman to treat a man, because men get abused too. I deal with some of them too.
Yeah.
It's not okay to walk away from it if God leads you to do that. You can pray and ask God for guidance, and he will guide you. For me, God guided me out. For someone else, and I'm actually dealing with a lady now and helping her, and I believe that things can get better. And we're trying to help her to heal so that she can flourish in her relationship. Yeah, so she can set the boundaries in her marriage and say, I'm not going to allow you to treat me like that. Because you just said something, Diane. You said, why do we allow it? You know, why don't we stand up and set a boundary? One of the reasons for that people can't set boundaries or that they're codependents, it's a fear of rejection. We don't set a boundary because we fear that we're going to be rejected. And that's a part of my book is overcoming the fear of rejection. Because in every relationship, we want to be loved. We want to be accepted. I think a woman's number one priority in a relationship is acceptance. We want to feel adored, loved, and accepted. We want a man to see us. And if we say no, we feel like, oh, they're not going to want us anymore. It's a rejection. So we have such a fear, and women will allow a man to do things to them, even in the bedroom, or treat them a specific way, or hit them specific way and not say anything about it because they have such a fear of being rejected because they were rejected in their childhood or they were rejected before, and they have this vicious fear. So they'll just deal with anything just to not lose the relationship. And the book will help you deal with that and will help you overcome the fear of rejection. Because I think so many people, even Apostle John Eckhart says, most people who are alcoholics and addicts, when they cast the spirit of the fear of rejection or the spirit of rejection out of them, those people are healed immediately of alcoholism or addiction. And any addict, usually people who are codependent are attracted to addicts. So codependents and addicts both have a fear of rejection or that kind of a situation and you'll just let anybody walk all over you. And some people don't even know they're codependent. They'll let their family take advantage of them. They can't ever say no at work. They'll do everybody else's work. They can't say no because they want to be liked so much. They want to be loved and accepted. And I believe for a fact, if you're a Christian, you cannot have a fear of rejection because you cannot allow – you have to have that the ability to say no. You have to have the ability to stand up for your faith. Absolutely. And the world is going to come against you. You got to know that. Even Jesus said, you know, if they didn't love me, they're not going to like you so much every now and then. You know, you might be posting something on Facebook and you will get a stab here or a stab there. And, you know, that's just the way things are. But if you have that fear of rejection, that root of it inside of yourself, you're going to go towards people who abuse you and you're going to allow it. You're not going to stand up and say, listen, this is my boundary. I don't allow this. I'm not going to allow you to talk to me like this. Or you're going to say, I'm sorry, I can't do this today. I can't help you with this project because, and you don't even have to say because, you just say, I'm not going to be able to help you with this project today. I can't pick your kids up from school or any of those little things. Or I'm sorry, but I'm not going to allow you to do that to me, you know, when we're intimate in the bedroom. I don't feel comfortable when you do that to me. When you say you want this and it displeases you. And that's what I told the lady that I was counseling that was being raped. I said, you need to start standing up for yourself. And I told her, and then you can tell, because then we can tell if this relationship can heal or not. When you start setting boundaries in your relationship and that person oversteps the boundaries continuously, you immediately know that this person has absolutely no regard for your feelings or your emotions or your well-being. Then you can say, okay, this is not going to work because this person does not regard my feelings or my well-being or my emotions. So you can kind of tell, you know, if someone really cares about you or loves you, if they overstep your boundaries. Once or twice is okay, but when it happens over and over and over again, my husband knows what my boundaries are, and I know what his is, and we don't go there because we understand
right.
with each other, this is, I don't allow this, and he and I understand with him, he doesn't allow that. And with every person, it's different. So the best thing you
right.
can do right in the beginning of a relationship, before you even go to the toxic side, is say what your boundaries are. I don't do this. I'm not going to allow that. And, you know, see if someone stays
right.
or goes. You know, and if...
That's good.
And if...
That's
yeah.
Really
so
good.
If anybody is in a relationship right now or in a marriage, and you start setting those boundaries, you ask God to give you the courage to set the boundaries. God, please help me to set this boundary. You sit them down. Don't wait until there's a fight. You sit them down and say, listen, when we're doing this and you do this, it makes me feel uncomfortable. I would appreciate if you don't do it again. Or it hurts my feelings. I would appreciate it if you don't do it again. Then someone can make one slip up or maybe two. If they recognize it and they say they're sorry, you know, you can maybe let it go a couple times. But if it happens continuously, there's no regard for feeling, they don't feel bad about it, or they keep doing it, or they make fun of you because of it, I'm sorry, but that person doesn't care about you. And then you need to start moving on or exiting that relationship for sure.
That's good. Okay, I hate
yeah.
to cut in right here, but I want to let people know right now, because we've only got about 16 minutes left today. This hour's going by fast. If anyone has any questions they would like to ask my guest, you would like to ask Monya, right now is a good time to do it. And depending on how many people have something that they want to ask her will depend on how much time you can have with her. Because if there's too many of you, then it'll just have to be really, really quick. So going ahead and follow the prompts on your phone right now. If you would like prayer for anything, if you'd like Monya to pray for you concerning your relationship, you don't have to give any real, you know, what we call juicy details
specific.
Or anything, but just overall prayer for your marriage, relationship, then going ahead right now is the time to do that. And so, you know, I won't be able to said we have to cut off pretty much when the program ends. And so, well, I just want to say, because now a couple of people are coming on right now that have something, but this has just been really, I know, an eye-opener for many, and I know there's several that are listening today because my switchboard is full, but I know that many have, your eyes have been opened up to some things, and you know, I hear your heart to begin to become proactive in your relationship with your spouse, and just that desire to do so because you've been hurt for so long and you don't want to remain in that place of being hurt. And so, you know, that's what these programs are about always, is for you to receive the help that you need for your life, so that you can be who God has called you to be, so that you can do what he's called you to do. And it all becomes, you know, there's a few places, well, actually several places, but in the Word of God that says in Ephesians, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In Romans,
absolutely.
It talks about renewing your mind. And that's where it all begins. And, you know, Monya, I teach that all the time that, you know, that your brain is like a computer and it stores stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you don't realize
mm-hmm.
a lot of times things that you do in life that are a result of something that happened at some point in time in your life that's stored in your brain like a computer,
mm-hmm.
and something will
yeah.
happen. You'll see something, someone will say something, and all of a sudden you start having these feelings or emotions and you don't quite understand. And God wants to set people free. He wants to give you all new, your cognition. He wants to
mm-hmm.
Give you a new brain. He wants to give you a
mm-hmm.
sound mind. But yeah. Okay, I'd be quiet because we've got several people or we're not going to get everybody. But let's go ahead and go to the first caller here. Okay, area code 704. You're on the air right now. Who am I speaking with?
This is Terry.
Hi, Terry. It's good to hear you. I haven't heard your little sweet voice in a long time. So what would you like to ask Monya today?
Well, I was, I've been married three times. My second marriage was awful. I know I was married to, he had to have demons. It had to come from somewhere, you know, because I kept going back through that same routine. I pick up women as friendly people, and they're always toxic. And so I guess what I'm trying to ask is, how do I break the cycle? How do I break it? And this my second husband that was abusive, he died, and it's probably taken me 10 years before every time I thought of him that I said, I'm so glad he's dead. I'm so glad he's dead. So I need healing, I'm sure, but I don't know where to go from here.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I believe, yeah, absolutely. You definitely need a healing, and you need a renewal of your mind. I believe for a fact, I don't know what if there anything happened to you in your childhood, what kind of relationship you had with your father, but I believe that if there, and not just your father, maybe your mother too, or your sibling relationships, or maybe relationships you had at school, because if you even are choosing toxic friends, then that's another area where it's like a self-sabotage, where you're choosing people. There's something happened that needs to be healed. If you don't heal, I'm not specifically understanding what, because I mean, you're not going to explain on the air if anything happened to you. There could be a few things, but I believe that there's something in your past that needs to heal. I believe that if you haven't forgiven your father, if your father was abusive or toxic or neglected or abused or abandoned you, I believe that forgiveness really opens the gate. Right in the beginning of the book, I go through a series of forgiveness of your parents. That's a huge opening for God to start healing those parts of your heart that were damaged in your childhood years. I really want you to get the book. And if you can't afford the book, please email me. My email is moniafuentes@gmail.com. And I'll send you a free copy. I just want you to receive the healing you need. And not to get into specifics, but I want you to go through the book, read the prayers, do the declarations. And if there are specific parts in it, I believe also maybe shame. I don't know what areas in your life that you feel shame towards something that happened to you, or trauma that has not been healed or dealt with. And also, I believe there's a fear of rejection in you, that you will cling on to people. It's subconsciously your mind wants to heal that area. And if you don't heal, you'll keep going towards people that reject you. You'll keep finding you keep finding people to reject you. You keep finding people to cause you to feel like you're not good enough. You'll be in relationships where you feel like you're insignificant. I really want you to heal, Terry. So if you can't afford my book, please email me and I'll put a copy in the mail for you. I want you to go through it. We don't have enough time to get into everything, but you need healing, not just, I believe, also in your heart, but in your mind too. But the book will help you through that. And you go through the whole book for 21 days. You do all the tasks. And if something makes you feel like I need to do this one more day, then you go into that and you do that one more day.
Okay. I'll do that. Thank
okay.
you.
Wonderful. Terry, I just speak blessings over you, and I'm so grateful that you were listening today and that you called in. And so here in just a little bit at the end of the program, I'm going to have Monya to be giving all of her information so that anyone who wants to connect with her will be able to do so. And so, but we just come into agreement right now in Jesus' name that this new day that has come upon you and God has heard the cry of your heart. And Father, we just thank you right now that you've opened up a place today to your daughter so that she can move forward with healing in her heart, in her life, in her relationships. And Father, we just thank you for that. That she hears your voice, she knows your voice, and she'll not look to the right or left any longer, but she will just keep her eyes up on you, and she'll take every day as you lead her and guide her, as she reads this book, as she applies it to her life. Father, thank you that you will bring her through. And Father, we thank you for her healing, her deliverance, and for
yes,
the
Lord.
Wisdom that you will give her from the experience and or the
Absolutely.
Exposure that she has had to things in her past. In Jesus' name,
thank
amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Okay, sweetie, I'm going to let you go. We've got a couple more callers here. Thank you for calling
okay.
in, Terry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Praise
oh,
God.
God
okay.
bless you.
Okay, let's see here. Okay, now we're going to have to do these a little bit quicker here because there's just more people wanting
okay.
to ask questions.
Okay.
Now. Okay. So, and I'm sorry, I should have maybe made the program a little bit longer. But area code 984, you're on the air right now. Who am I speaking with?
This is Michelle. How are you? How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Michelle.
Michelle.
Good.
Doing good. Going ahead.
One of the things I wanted to, I've been pretty much praying about a lot of stuff that you've been talking about. And my, I believe that the root of my, and I'm 45, I know there's not a thing to be married, but I just know that in my relationships, I've struggled. And mostly it's like with trust, and I kind of like second guess myself often. And I believe that the root of mine is my mother. And
mm-hmm.
I just don't really know how to, and I've kind of distanced myself from my mother for a season. I don't really know how to, like, handle it because, you know, like, my the way I see it, you know, I feel like I have changed, but my mother hasn't. And it's like she continues to, like, make excuses and stuff like that. So I don't necessarily know how to, or should I, you know what I'm saying, like, deal with her or whatever. Because it's almost like when I deal with her, it's kind of like the stuff that just, not the anger, but it's like I'm reminded of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, before it used to be a lot of pain. And
mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know, like, it was just hurtful. And so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just feel like,
yeah.
And my father, too. My father's just, he's a little bit different. And I think there's, like, some, I remember having a conversation with someone about when I was, like, 30-something. And I was, like, the little girl in me is still hurt. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I was about, you know, like, certain things with my father that I did not receive from him. He just, it was the same with both parents. But my mother was just more abusive, if I could say
yeah.
that. She was more, you know, harsh with it. But my dad
mm-hmm.
was the same. And I think some of it is abandonment. But I know that it comes from my parents. That's
yeah, absolutely. And
yeah.
you're not going to be, absolutely. And just to give you a quick answer.
Okay.
The hardest thing for us is family. And, toxic family. It's even harder than being in a toxic relationship because when we can separate from a person that we're in a relationship with romantically, but we can't almost ever separate from our family. We can love them from a distance and we can pray for them, but it's hard because we have to deal with them all the time. The first thing I want you to do is and this is in my book, but I want you to take a piece of paper or maybe 10, because this is what I did, and write down all of the things that you really wanted from your mother and father that you never got. I want you to write all, if it takes you 5 days and it keeps coming up in your mind, write all of that stuff down. Then I want you to put your hand on it and say, I release this. I'm never going to get it from them. I never got it from them, and I'm never going to get it from them. Because I think you're still wanting to get all those things from your mother and father, and you probably will never get it. I heard Joyce Meyer say that one time. She'll never get that love from her father that she needed. But I want you to pray, put your hand on it, pray over that paper, and say, I release this. I forgive you, mother and father, for not giving me these things. I forgive you for not giving me the love I needed. All the stuff that's on the paper, I forgive you for it. And then you say, God, I know that you are a good father, and you can restore the things in my mind and my heart that's broken. and I know that you can give these things to me. You're not going to have it in your physical world, but I want you to start forgiving. And when you start writing this stuff down, it literally will come out of your subconscious mind. That's why I let people write things down in my book, because the subconscious mind, when you start writing, it actually start remembering more things. So I want you to write it down on a piece of paper. Don't use your computer. Sit with a piece of paper and start writing down the things right on the top, the things I never got from my dad that I wanted and needed, the things I never got from my mom that I wanted and needed. Write it all down. Pray over it. Read it. If it makes you cry, good. That's part of your healing. It's going to come up and out. You cannot have that hurt deep down in your soul. Then I want you to take those papers, take them outside and burn them. And as you see the flames go up, I want you to pray and say, God, I release this to you. It's almost like an offering. You give it to God. I'm releasing this to you. I did it. And let me tell you, girl, I had like 30 papers. And it's amazing what I felt in my heart when I started burning them. And I felt like this is going up to God. And then from then on, when you deal with your mother and father, I don't want you to remember any of that stuff. I want you to ask God to help you forget it. And then I want you to start putting boundaries up. If you're getting hurt, I want you to say something about it and say, Mother, when you do this, it hurts me. If she keeps doing this, then I want you to completely remove yourself, but there has to be a consequence for what she does. So maybe remove yourself for a couple or two or three days. I don't want you to get angry. I want you to release it to God right away. Don't let it fester. Don't let that fester in your heart, the resentment and the bitterness and the anger. I want you to release all of that. If you have to do that every day, write down that paper every day. Every time you talk to your mom, write it another piece. My mom did this. It hurt me. Go burn it outside and release it to God and forgive. Literally, you'll start feeling your heart release. You'll start feeling things go and up and out of you. And there's a whole chapter in my book just about that. And it gives you the instructions on how to do that.
Okay.
I hope it helps. You might have to deal with your mom for the rest of your life. I have a lot of people I coach that deal with that. And actually, my husband and I have some toxic family in our life that we deal with. And we have removed ourselves. And it's really hard over Thanksgiving and holidays and things like that and people's birthdays. But, you know, we deal with it. And I literally have to, every time after we've been at a family function, have to go write my paper down again and say, God, I release this to you. I let it out of my heart. I forgive them, and then I go burn my paper. I hope that helps. It helps for me.
I will. Awesome. I'll do that. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, Michelle, thank you for calling in. And I love you. Uh-huh.
Love you too.
Bye-bye. Thank you, dear. Okay, here we go. And this, and we, the program's actually fixing to end, but we'll take this last call, and this will be it because I've been holding for a long time.
Area sweetheart, code okay.
Hi, you're Diane, on the air right Tanya.
Now. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Good, good. Okay. I'm learning a lot from the program. It's awesome. It's really, really insightful on some things that I kind of need to be healed of, too, so. So just any prayer will be good for my family, for my marriage,
okay.
For God to heal some things there. But what's amazing, I got to share this. I know you got 1 minute, and I may not get prayer, but I'm going to order the book.
Definitely.
So
well,
I'll share with you the dream later. Diane.
Yeah, send me an email, moniafuentes@gmail.com, and I'll send you the book. But Diane and I will pray for you real quick. Diane, let's go pray for her real quick. Father, we thank you. We lift her up to you right now. And as we come into agreement, we believe that you are going into her heart, her spirit, and her mind, and that you're renewing her mind, God, that you're revealing to her the places that need healing. If there's any memories in her mind that is causing the issues in her life and in her marriage, I thank you that it comes up and out, that you reveal to her what it is. I thank you that you're showing her the path to healing. That you are covering her. I speak healing over her marriage and her family relationships. And if there are areas in her life where she needs to release people and forgive God, I ask you that you show that to her. And yes. I'm going to send her my book, and I thank you that as she reads through the book that she will experience the healing she needs. We just lift her up to you right now. Diane and I are in agreement with her. Your word says, with two or more gathered in your name, there you are. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that the Holy Spirit is with her right now and that the healing begins today. And I thank you. I come against any spirits that are causing issues in her marriage. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I come against rejection, fear, the spirit of the fear of rejection. And I thank you, God, that every wound is healed, that you're starting to heal those wounds in her past, that you're starting to heal the wounds in her heart, and that you're starting to renew her mind and putting the new beliefs of what she is worth and what you created her to be, and that you're revealing her purpose to her. Because, God, I know when she knows her worth and her purpose, that you will not allow mistreatment or abuse, and that she would start seeing who she is, and that she would start understanding who she is in your kingdom. We just pray that over her right now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Powerful.
You're welcome.
Jesus. Yes. Praise God. Okay. Oh, my goodness, y'all. Okay, let me, I'm going to disconnect right now with you, Tanya. Tanya.
Okay.
Yes, Tanya. I'm thinking, Vanya, Tanya, y'all's names are too much alike. Okay, and I love you, and I will talk with you soon, sweetie. Thank you for calling in.
Praise God.
You're welcome. And so, you know, there's just, oh, my goodness, there's just so many people that have called in. And we just can't get to you today, but I am going to pray here in just a minute because I told